that guy there, his life was speaking for itself. And we're talking about hearing now and listening in the midst of our spiritual journey. If this is your first time today or you're here today, you have plopped yourself right in the midst of our most intense time as a church, in the midst of the crazy campaign. So there's going to be some stuff today that you might dig and get a lot out of it. At absolute minimum, though, you're going to see what it's like to kind of raise the bar in a biblically functioning community. That's what we're trying to do, and that's what we're doing today. We're in this journey where we're saying, number one, surrender. God, all that I have is yours. I got to recognize that you've given it all to me, and so we've kind of said, I want to just put all this stuff on the table. And now we're doing is saying, God, is there anything that you want back that was already yours and that you were letting me use? Listening. Last week we talked about how you can hear from God. And today we're going to talk about how you hear from God, but part of it is hearing from yourself. And before I get into that, there's two little announcements I have for us. Number one is no next level this week, no next level. And second thing is you're going to get a little pack of information when you leave here today. We've just noticed that many people have not, for whatever reason, haven't been able to or have not known the necessity of coming to a personal contact meeting and noting that what's in there is the whole vision and guts of what God's doing through the crazy campaign and what we're trying to do. So when you leave, you're going to get a pack of information. One is some of the stuff that we share in the crazy campaign, and you still got time to sign for one of those, you need to get on one of those, okay? But this will give you some supplemental information, this little insight. And then inside of there, there's a couple things that are going to be helpful in the 23rd. One is a commitment card. You can relax here. It says sample. Nothing to do with it, just a sample. I just want you like a look at this and get used to this. That's where the big thing on the 23rd, okay? And then also in there, we got a little brochure that many of us use in here for e-gift. How many people do e-gift in here? You don't have to do it, but we want to give you some information on what that's about, because some of us who are making monthly commitments as part of what we're doing with the crazy campaign are going to leverage this. And we'd like you to look at this and consider this as just a cool, easy thing to do. So you can get that in your way out here. Well, that's enough announcements. Let me pray before we go any further. God, man, there's just crazy amounts of information for people to get. And I know what we're going to talk about today is to the heart of where many of us are. And so I ask you to guide my words and you'd open all of our ears and just help us to be recipients of all that you have for us today. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. One of the crazy things, we're being accused that it was crazy anyway, was the very first week when we gave out $60,000 in cash in various envelopes to go out in the community and be a blessing to people. And you've been accountable to that. People have been emailing in what they did with it. And I wish we could just have a whole service where we did nothing but talk about the stories. Here's one that just came in that I think is awesome. I received $10 at the Saturday evening service. I had no idea what to do with it. I attended a group at the Women's Crisis Center for Women who have experienced domestic violence. One of the young women in my group is 8 months pregnant with a one-year-old son at home. And she shared with us a story about how her young son had a fever of 104 and was unable to keep down fluids for 2 days. The situation reached a critical point and her doctor instructed her to bring her son into the ER. She told her partner that she needed him to drive them to the hospital. He refused and insisted that he had plans to go out that evening. The paramedics would not respond unless it was life or death, and she couldn't say for sure that her son was dying. She called the police for help. They arrived and told her to call a cab. She did not have the $10 it would take to get to the hospital. I was amazed to see how clearly God speaks when I heard she only needed $10. I explained where it came from and how I believe God was looking out for her and encouraging her to stand on her own, having learned from painful experiences. She was very moved and hugged me for a very long time. Thank you. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool how that's an applause there. How happens when, you know, we just start to be aware of some of the things that God might be doing in our life and how to get involved with that. I was on my annual study break last summer. I go to a friend's house down in Florida, and I used to go away to kind of regroup with the family, regroup my mind, do a lot of reading and that sort of thing. And in the mornings, I had this ritual where I go out in the back where there's a pool with one of those screen aluminum thingies over the whole thing. Someone told me that's called lanai, you know, with this whole thingy. So I got out there in the morning before anybody else gets up, and I'll take up my Bible and take a journal, and I'll just kind of read and pray and just kind of connect with God one-on-one. And first morning I go out there, I go out and I hear this, I'm going, what in the world is that? I'm looking around, and there's this woodpecker trying to peck through the brown paint, trying to get some nourishment, some bugs. I'm like, dude, you're in for a long morning. There ain't no food under the aluminum. It's just not there. Next day, I come back, same position, same bad time, same bad place. Nice peace and calm, and all of a sudden I hear, and now I'm starting to get mad. I'm like, if I could find a BB gun dealer, I would eliminate this problem immediately. But I'm starting to get mad. I'm wanting to talk to the bird. I'm bird, you're a few fries short of a Happy Meal. There's no bugs in the aluminum. There's nothing there for you. And just as I'm starting to really upset that my quiet space is getting invaded on, I kind of have this sense of reality. You know, this bird is no different than me or you. And that is that we're all prone to go to sources that we think are going to fill us up and give us nourishment, and that doesn't. We're all prone to saying, man, if I just get more stuff, or if I get more accolades, or if I get more compliments, you know, I'll feel better and I'll be nourished. And that's not the way it works. There's one of two kingdoms you're in today. You're either in the kingdom of God, which is God invading your world and just working on you like a master does. You're in the kingdom of God, or you're in the kingdom of thingdom. And the kingdom of thingdom is a thing that we strive after, and we think if I just get a little more, if I just keep this, I'm going to be okay. And what happens is we keep banging our face, banging our nose up against the same stuff, thinking it's going to satisfy us, and it doesn't satisfy us. And that is the pervasive influence of the kingdom of thingdom. And it's not just in America, and it's not just in our time period. It's been in every time period and every culture since the beginning of time. In fact, it was in the time period that Jesus walked. And this master teacher talks about the contrast between the kingdom of thingdom and the kingdom of God in this teaching he gives. Let's take a look at the beginning of it. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Jesus says, man, I see you guys, you're just going after it, you're trying to knock down the numbers, you're trying to do everything, you're stressing about all the stuff that you need to make yourself satisfied. Jesus says, just look at creation, look at how flowers, they just do just fine. Look at how God takes care of things. And when you're in God's family, you're in the kingdom of God, he will take care of you, he will meet your needs. There's also basic things you have to do in the midst of the kingdom, like have a job, you know, or something like that, but there's this, we need to realize that I don't need to keep slamming and slamming and stressing and worrying that God will take care of you, that God will meet your needs. And what we have to do is hear this from God. And I want to ask all of us to ask ourselves three questions. And the answer to these questions will know who we are very clearly. We will know what kingdom we're in. I listen to my life by asking, number one, who is the owner? Who is the owner? Do I own my stuff or my stuff own me? It's one of the two. Do I own my stuff or does my stuff own me? And is God in ownership of all that I am? If you read the J.R.R. Tolkien trilogy or watch the movie or something like that, you know, it's very, very cool. And there's the ring that everybody is after, that everybody wants. And this ring has destroyed one person or creature's life, Gollum. You know, what's he call that ring? My precious, you know, or however he says that, my precious. And his ring has morphed him into something that is nasty looking. And whatever is the thing that is your precious, that's what owns you. Whatever is your precious, that's what owned you. And that is whatever you don't think you could ever do without, that is the thing that owns you. And this is what the kingdom of thingdom will do. The kingdom of thingdom invades our heart and says, you can't get by without these things. And all of us are prone to it. And it's funny how it manifests itself. I was, Libby and I, we rehabbed a kitchen not long ago, actually a whole house, and in the midst of rehabbing this thing, you notice things that like you would never notice before. Like kitchen counters. Like I could care less about kitchen counters until now. Okay, because now I gotta pick kitchen counters. And I never noticed going to somebody's house, never noticed their counters, but now I'm noticing counters going, ooh, what is that? Is that Corian, silestone? Is that like granite? Or is that like that fake, you know, formica with the, what was it? All of a sudden I'm noticing all these countertops. I go, ooh, I want that. I like that. And all of a sudden, what countertop I have somehow makes me feel more fulfilled. And I would have never noticed it. Same thing when we were driving down to Study Break last year. I was on this Harley kick. Still am on the Harley kick. Going down to Study Break. And all of a sudden I noticed like all these Harley Davidson billboards. And like I never noticed them before. Now I'm noticing them. All these Harley things. I stopped, yes, my family, every single Harley dealership between Cincinnati and Miami, we stopped and did a tour of. Every single one. And I would never notice Harley Davidson sign before. All of a sudden, I can pick black and orange through three trees. I can just see black and orange. Go, hey, next exit. We're stopping, kids. Next exit. The kingdom of thingdom has its hold on me all the time. And if you're up prone, and by the way, countertops aren't bad. Harley Davidsons aren't bad. The stuff that's up on the table is not bad. It's not. What's bad is when it owns us as opposed to us owning them. And we know that it owns us when we know we love it. And we don't want anyone speaking to it. I'll tell you, it's going to be very uncomfortable for us in here today because you're going to put baggage on me. You're going to accuse me of ulterior motives. You're going to misread things I say. You're going to, all this stuff. Because the kingdom of thingdom is going to keep wanting to keep you in its grasp because you're precious. Doesn't want to go anywhere other than right next to your heart. And the kingdom of thingdom is not going to take what's going to be talked about today lying down. The Bible says this in one of its passages, do not love the world or anything in the world. If this was written today, it could have put it in more graphic terms. Do not love the mall or anything in the mall. Do not love the Harley Davidson dealer or anything in the Harley Davidson dealer. Do not love your financial portfolio or anything in your financial portfolio. And how do you know you love it? You know you love it when you can't give it up. You know you love it when no matter what, it's not going anywhere. There's an old story of a preacher who goes and visits on one of his parishioners out in the country. He goes and sees Clem and he says, Clem, if you had $200, would you give God $100? And Clem says, why, sure, preacher, you know I would. And so, well, Clem, if you had two sheep, would you give one to God? And Clem says, absolutely, preacher, you know I would. And he says, well, Clem, if you had two pigs, would you give one to God? And Clem said, now, preacher, that's not fair. You know I got two pigs. You know, and we can have all of these ethereal fantasies about what kingdom we reside in. We can have all these ethereal fantasies about the kind of person we are, but our life speaks for itself. When it gets down, you know, to nitty gritty stuff, we find out, you know, where we are in our understanding of who God is and whether or not we reside in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of thingdom. And Jesus said this, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them, but seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. God gives us His kingdom. He wants to be in our life and be involved in our stuff. He doesn't need us to cling to the kingdom of thingdom and all the things that are in it. And one of the ways that we know where we are is by listening to our life and listening to the answer of our life to the question of where's my passion? Where's my passion? It's an important thing for all of us to find our passion. There's different instruments or tools you can use, fill out surveys to find your passion. I got a better one for you. There really is. And actually, you can have somebody walk you through this. All you have to do is give somebody in your life your date book and your checkbook. And it'll be very clear what your passion is. Be very clear. In fact, you know, if we wanted to just pick anybody out in this place right now and pop the last year's worth of appointments up there, last month's worth of appointments, pop the last month worth, the last year's worth of checks that you've written, it would be crystal clear to everybody in here what your passion is. And we would all say, oh, no, that was just an unusual month. Or no, that this year has just been a hectic, or no, this has been a stressful one. It just wouldn't lie. We always find time, and we always find money for those things we're passionate about. Always. I talk to people sometimes, and they're like, man, I'd love to get more involved in serving the poor. I'd love to get more involved in just volunteering, giving my time, or building into people, getting with people in A-team. Right? I would just love to do that. I just don't have time. And a very interesting thing happens. Some new hottie comes into their life. That's a boyfriend or girlfriend, if you know. Some new hottie comes in their life, and all of a sudden, they're all kinds of time. Their work on company time, doing IM into their new, you know, all kinds of time, you know. All of a sudden, they have all kinds of time to have, like, 2-hour conversations at night about nothingness. But all of a sudden, they got that time. All of a sudden, you have time for this new passion you have to spend, actually, 4 or 5 date nights a week at 3 hours a clip. Because you naturally find time for what you're passionate about. Always. It's the way it always works. And it's the same way financially. You will always find time, but always find resources for that what you're passionate about. Always. We'll complain about the gas prices going up, and I hope they don't go any higher. We'll complain about it, but the fact of the matter is, at $2 a gallon, whatever it is, none of us in here are going to go, I'm not going to go visit mom today 3 hours away, because the gas is too high right now. I'm just, you know, I'm gonna stay where I am. No, we'll go and we'll fill up, and we will drive to wherever we're passionate about. That gas price will not affect our life at all. And we always have money for the things we're passionate about. We think, man, I have no money, but man, the new act comes in town. The concert, we've been waiting for it. We always have money for that concert. We always have money to eat 5 nights out or 7 nights out a week when we don't like to cook. We always do. We always have money to upgrade our electronic gizmos. We always have money for the new DVD player. We always have money for the landscaping scheme that's going to knock out the block or the 5 inches of nice plush mulch. We always have that money for that plush mulch. We always have money for the timeshare, you know, when we want to get the on-island discount. We always have money for that. We always have money for the second home. And here's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with those things. You got to hear me. And you think that I'm all down on things because you want to discredit everything I say. That's all I'm saying. I'm not. There's nothing inherently wrong about any of that stuff. And I'm not saying God doesn't want us to have that stuff. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is we always find money for that which we're passionate about. And those things that we're thinking, that can't go, that's the thing that owns us. That's the thing that has our heart. It's been so fun to see some of us who've been kind of go into these meetings, personal contact meetings, and actually find out the vision of this whole crazy campaign thing. It's been fun to see people come in and just like, bam, their eyes pop up. We're like, oh man, they're starting to get passionate about this. We talked about this graphic. We go into other detail where this is a model of a biblically functioning church into all parts of the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And this is what's a part of every part of our crazy campaign. Jerusalem is our site, 3500 Madison. We are not here to be a holy huddle. We're not here to be a repository. We're not here to come in and sit in our butts. This is a launching pad. This is a foundation for life change that launches people into change in the world, whether it be serving the poor in Cincinnati and building an infrastructure to leverage hundreds of people every month to serve the poor, which is what we're trying to do. Or whether it's crazychurch.com, a free, absolutely free delivery vehicle for the greatest things that God has given us, the greatest videos, the greatest leadership development tools He's given us, the greatest children's curriculum that we write, the greatest whatever, to give that and bless other churches in the city and the entire nation to say, man, if our bullet fits your gun, shoot. Shoot, use this. We want to help change it in any way that God has given stuff to us. And then finally, ends of the year, South Africa, the AIDS Hospice and Mortuary Center, and just what it means to partner with people in that region to nurture and love people, maybe back to wholeness. I mean, and when I look at that, I'm like, oh man, Harley Davidson, Schmarley Davidson, whatever. Right now in the season, I say, man, I want that to happen because it grips my heart, and it's so fun to see others of us having our heart be gripped. This is one of the stories that came in. Really hit me hard. I think you might dig it too. Woman emails me. She says, about this time last year, after my husband left me and our four children, again, after I was blessed with a part-time job within the school district, after I realized I could no longer stay in my home, and after my old paid-off car was stolen and totaled, and after my new car was hit by an uninsured motorist who gave me bogus information, and after the selling of my house turned into a financial nightmare, and after my not yet ex-husband informed me his girlfriend was pregnant, and after seeing a mouse in the hallway of the apartment building we had moved to, I realized maybe I needed to try Crossroads. It was interesting how I kept hearing from different people. Well, God does work through people, because the service that day, and the woman in black, you know, I have no idea who this woman is. She doesn't either. The woman in black who sat behind me and after the service comforted me without saying a word. I was deeply touched. The compassion I felt from her, the enthusiasm I saw, was astounding. This is why my heart grew heavy when the crazy campaign talk started. How could I repay Crossroads for all I've learned and been able to apply to my life? And by the way, the heart of the intent of that statement is great, but you don't. You don't repay a church. You don't repay God. That's not the way God's economy works. You know, this is not about repaying or giving back. It's about just saying, God, I just want to be about the kingdom of God. And I'm just, you know, so this was just how she kind of stammered her way through that. And what about Kids Club? It is awesome to talk with my kids about them asking God for courage during their day, or if they had to practice forgiveness or liking someone easy to dislike. Not to mention the blessing of serving on the special needs team every Sunday. I get to share an hour with an incredible little boy who accepts me into his world, where we laugh and play. And at times I almost feel guilty for having so much fun while I'm serving. Well, count me in, but I still have nothing to give to the campaign. This is where I realized that this is a spiritual journey, not a monetary thing. As I sat one night pondering what to do, God put on my heart that I needed to surrender cigarettes. I figured $3 per pack, 5 packs per week, maybe my contribution may buy a chair for someone else having a bad day. Sounds crazy to me that so little may actually help change the world, but if it can, count me in. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that sweet? That's just beautiful. So that's just a story of someone who's just, man, just, man, I'm just getting passionate about whatever I can do to be a part of the kingdom of God and see it extended. And some people will call her crazy. Many people call people who are part of the kingdom of God crazy. 1 Corinthians 5:13, which is the theme verse for this series, is if we are out of our mind, it's for the sake of God. And if we're in our right mind, it's for you. People who God invades their world, invades your kingdom, and grips your heart, you look crazy. But it's because you feel this love for God and you feel this love for the people. And finally say, you know what, if that's crazy, you guilty, crazy. For our minds, it's because we love you. And we love the one thing that God loves more than anything else, and that is people. And whatever you're crazy about, you will always do crazy things for, always. I have a friend who's a triathlete. His training schedule when he's doing those is crazy. It's crazy. If you are crazy, or if you are passionate about sex, you will do crazy sex things. Not unhealthy either, by the way, oftentimes. But you will do crazy things. We will spend crazy amounts of money on the things in the kingdom of things that we're passionate about. We'll take out crazy mortgages. We'll take risks when it comes to business or something. We'll take all these risks. Because getting ahead and escalating our name before other adherents to the kingdom of kingdom is important to us, and so we want to take those risks. We want to make sure we do the crazy thing, like buy a whole new spring wardrobe, and we haven't even worn all the things in the last spring wardrobe. And I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying it's crazy. You know? And we naturally do crazy things for that which we're passionate about. Now, here, my name is Brian, I'm your friend. Okay, so relax. I want to take a deep breath here. I'm not saying this stuff because I'm trying to guilt anybody or anything. I've just seen all of us stick our stinking beak in the aluminum thinking we're going to get spiritual satisfaction, and we don't. The kingdom of kingdom will never do it for you. But it'll keep drawing you like a magnet saying, keep going it after harder. Kingdom of kingdom is going to do everything it can to keep you from being engaged in this thing. It'll do everything it can to keep you from selling your condo or to keep you from stopping your cigarettes or to keep you from visiting electronic stores or whatever, because that's what the kingdom of kingdom is about. And being a person who's been a follower of Christ, a churchgoer, but a follower of Christ for about 22, 20-some years, something like that, weird thing about God is when God wants to get his kingdom in your world, he gives you the thing that you have to wrestle with that you don't want to wrestle with. Like when God decided it was time to grow me in patience, you know what God does? He puts you around very annoying people. He puts you around annoying people. And that's just the way God works. When it's time, he says, okay, it's time to grow a person patience, you get around annoying people and you learn patience. And when God says it's time to teach this person endurance and faithfulness, he puts you in painful situations where not only is there no easy fix, there's just no fix. Period. And you just have to endure. And you have to somehow find God in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that struggle. And on the other side, what do you know? Boom. God has given you endurance. He has given you faithfulness. And when God decides to call you out of the kingdom of kingdom, I'm telling you from my own life, I'm telling you from all the scriptures I've read, the way God does it is he starts messing with your things, and it's through giving. That's the way it happens, period. No one comes out of the kingdom of kingdom outside of giving. It's just not the way it happens. That's one of the reasons why there's tension around here right now. That's one of the reasons. You know, I wish that I could say, you know, we really believe God's going to use us to change the world and change the lives of our friends and all of our lives in here. And if I said, and to do that, what God wants us to do is go above and beyond our current level of prayer for 3 years, everyone would be like, oh, cool, I've never done that before. Cool. If I said we have to go above and beyond our current level of Bible reading for the next 3 years, people would say, oh, fine. If I said, in order to change the world and impact people and have God impact our lives, we need to do a 3-year journey where we go above and beyond our current level of doing unto others as we'd have them do unto us. Nobody be bothered. Nobody be upset. It is giving. And the reason we're upset about it is this is the stronghold of the kingdom of kingdom. And the way out of it is always through this. When you stick your finger in the stuff that's on the table and you say, you don't own me. I own you. In fact, you're not even mine. You're God's. And I think he wants you. Leave. There's this release. There's this thing where you just start changing. And we listen to ourselves. We listen to God in the midst of this journey. And what you find out is what God is most passionate about is not buildings. He's not passionate about churches. He's not passionate about organizations. He's most passionate about people. That's who he's most passionate about. People. He's most passionate about impacting people one life at a time. Well, please welcome Pete to our stage today.
Thank you.
Well, tell us a little about your story, what we saw on that screen there.
I guess that was about a year ago. I moved over from England, another part of the Kingdom of England.
I would have never been able to notice that.
Yeah, no,
I know that. Is this the accent? Is that like real, or is that less like?
It's real.
Because chicks dig it, or something like that. It's because, like, well, I always think, man, if God would just give me that accent, people would actually listen to me. You know. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It doesn't work. Yeah. I moved over here just over a year ago, February last year. I moved here because of work. I left my friends and my family behind and came over to Cincinnati, sunny Cincinnati, to work. And because work was pretty much my number one passion and my number one thing, and I work crazy hours and in a material sense probably did okay, but a lot of my life was devoted to that. And when I wasn't working, I was out consuming, spending money, buying things, buying gadgets, anything with a wire in it, anything that I could play on my guitar, anything. And that was kind of where I was at and where I'd been in, you know, probably the 6 or 7 or 8 years that I've been working.
So what happened with, like, you know, the bars and stuff like that? There's a pivotal moment that...
I was out on a Friday night, the Memorial Day weekend, Friday night last year, and just out in a bar, RP's on Wesson, and not plugging them, but
But you just did.
I know. Yes. We were out just, like, a great evening, just out with the guys, and just supping away on the Blue Moons, and I overheard a conversation between... someone I knew and just someone I'd never met before. And this guy was just talking about Crossroads. He wasn't like, hey, come to Crossroads, you know, you'll be saved. It was just, they were just talking about Crossroads like a good bar or a restaurant. It was like, you know, it's a cool place. It's got a bunch of people that go there and it's just down the road and it's big and they've got loads of services and, you know, and that was it. There was no more to the conversation. I wasn't part of it or anything. And so that night wore on into the early hours of the morning and far too much fun and games. And I came kind of staggering in at, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning, and thought, well, for some reason that conversation was still in my mind, and I went online and managed to type in crossroadscommunity.net or look it up, which was a bit
a lot of S&Ms.
Yeah,
S&Ms at that time.
Bit of a battle in terms of the kind of night that had come before it. But I did that and found Crossroads, there, and I was like, wow, this place is pretty close, and they've got an 11:40 service. This is the service. I can't get off early on a Sunday, so.
So this is the slacker service you're saying then?
Yeah.
So what happened? Your first time here, 2 days after you heard about the church the first time, what happened?
Yeah, so the Sunday morning, I come in here. I wake up and think, okay, well, I'm going to go to this place. And I walk in, I'm in the atrium, and that's kind of the bit at the end of the video there, just standing there, just looking around, there's millions of people around, and I just had a really, I just liked the place. It seemed pretty cool. It was nothing like some of the preconceptions I might have had about church, particularly in the US, perhaps unfair conceptions, preconceptions. And I stood there and I thought, well, I like this place, and coffee and screens and whatever. And I walk in here at 11:30, and this place is a wasteland, and there wasn't a human being in here. And I'm like, okay. I was worried about like losing a seat or something, and there's like no one. Okay. So I sat down, I'm not pointing at you guys, but I sat down at the back there on the left, and that was that. And then like 11:39 and 51 seconds. Like, 1,000 people just like rain into the room. So I'm like, okay, fine. So the service started, and I'm sitting there all comfy. I'm like classic. Just I don't want to really be here. I'm at the back. I'm on the edge of a row. I could be out of here in like 4 seconds. And then some taps on the shoulder, and they're like, can we sit here? And I'm like, sure. Stand up, let them in, sit down again. And then like 2 minutes later, someone else taps me on the shoulder, and they're like, can we sit here? That's my friend. Can I sit there? Yeah, okay, fine. And no like charitable heart in me at all. I was like, oh man, I just want to keep sitting up and standing down and stuff. So the service starts, and then we turn around and say hello to each other. Like, I said hello to you guys this morning. Then we turn around and shake each other's hand. And the person next to me turns around and says hello, and I'm like, I think I'm going to a party at your house this evening. And this wasn't some vision I'd had. Someone had told me there's a party going on, and this, true enough, this person was like, yeah, I've got a party tonight. And we established, in a couple of seconds we spoke, that actually, friend of a friend of a friend, and I was at the end of that chain. And there I was, and I was about to be plugged into a group of people that...
This is amazing. This is exactly what happens with the kingdom of God. I mean, God is always working, and what happens is the kingdom of God comes to you. And, to work at that bar here in the right time and to come here at the specific service, and then right beside you is that person. I mean, all of us maybe don't have that exact story, but there's things that happen in our lives that we just can't explain away to coincidence. It's the kingdom of God, God coming and infiltrating our kingdom, infiltrating our world. Mm. And this is what happened with you. And so what happened when God started working in your life? What comes from the stuff that he did?
Right off the bat that day, I went to that party and I meet a bunch of people that don't have common ground, that is like they work together or went to school together or date each other. They shared a common thread, which was this place. And that really kind of started to puzzle me. I was like, I've never met a bunch of normal people that go to church. And obviously, there's 1,000 of them here. But And so I started coming back to Crossroads. It wasn't that I'd had this sudden epiphany. I was like, wow, I'm all about God now. I just thought, well, they're a nice bunch of people, and I've been kind of looking to maybe get involved in church and started coming back. And then I got plugged into an A team over time, and actually started dating one of the people that I got to know through that group. And she, she comes here, and we've kind of really, that's been a radical change for me in terms of having a relationship that has God as even part of it, let alone at the center of it. And that's something we've been figuring out over the last year.
What's that mean, your relationship? How's it different?
It's different in a couple of ways, I suppose, from what I'd be familiar with. Just things like praying together and just like leaning into God for challenges that we have in our lives, rather than saying it's all down to me or her. There's the physical side of things too, which, we don't sleep together. We've never slept together. We will sleep together one day if we get married. And that's kind of a decision we've decided to make. And that's, I think, the reason we've done that is because...
And that's new for you.
Yeah,
that's crazy for you.
Yeah, that's not the norm for me.
We don't want to ask you to go into more detail than that. That's enough detail for us. So sexually, God starts changing you and messing with you and good stuff. I mean,
yeah,
hard.
Amazing.
How about financially?
Financially, I guess quite a few months in, probably in the summer last year, just through some of the services here and through some people I'd spoken to, I just realized that actually I'd never even contemplated what I put in the offering each week. If I put anything, I might put $10 in, I might put what was in my pocket, I might feel guilty, put more, whatever. There's no kind of plan to that. And there was, it suddenly occurred to me that actually there were things that I could start doing that were just tangibly different in my life that were biblical, and one of those is tithing, and the whole 10%. So I decided I was going to do that, and I'm a huge fan of internet banking and anything electronic, so I went down the e-gift route. And e-gift was great because at the time I knew that that was really the right thing to do and to get on and do that, and that was going to put a squeeze on my finances, but I wanted to do that. But I also knew, I guess in retrospect, I can see that there were months when giving away 10% of my gross income wasn't really necessarily what I might have thought was the smartest idea. And the great thing about e-gift was that that just beams that money out of my account every month before my rent goes out, before my car payment or anything like that. So that kind of took care of that. And that started to make me think about what, you know, just, you know, the resources I had. And there are a few times in the last year where there have been, like, amounts of money that have come into my life that I felt God just saying to me, actually, no, this person needs that, or these people need that. And that's been a huge blessing on those people. And in doing so, it's been a huge blessing for me in just kind of seeing how God uses schmucks like me to do stuff. So,
what crazy campaign pops up, and then what are you thinking with that?
Well, crazy campaign really started to really kick in. I volunteered in the crazy campaign and started getting involved over the last few weeks, and then really in the last two or three weeks, I've really started to think about what that commitment might look like, and just realizing that whilst I'd done the tithing thing, I hadn't really flipped my resources on their head, and I was always. I realized I needed that's what I needed to get to. So I sat down and started by putting the giving element at the top of my pile. Like before my rent, before anything else, I was like, okay. And for the crazy campaign, I decided, and however I got to that, I was going to match that 10%. So that from this point on, for the next 3 years, that commitment in terms of, for me, for the crazy campaign, will be 20% of everything that I earn. Gross. No gross or net debate. And I went down that route. And that's a big deal. That's going to put a squeeze on me financially in terms of what I consume. But instead of giving less because of that, I'm looking at changing things in my life to consume less, eat out less, and stop paying to park my car for. Like I pay monthly parking, and yet through business, I'm only in that parking lot 8 days in a month. That's just a waste of money. I'm going to can cable. I don't need cable. I can do that without that on this. There are other little things that I can do that. As a result of this kind of squeeze I'm putting on my finances in terms of giving, I can try and just adjust things in terms of what I consume. And that kind of desire to give back to God through Crossroads really comes from just that personal change that I've experienced.
Yeah, let me put this perspective for us. You know, you've been, whenever God invades your world, whatever happened as far as consummating a commitment to Him, 50 weeks.
Yeah.
50 weeks. In 50 weeks' time, you've journeyed way out of the kingdom of thingdom when some people sit in church for 50 years and don't come to some of the stuff that you're talking about here. And, this sounds, if you hear what you're saying, it sounds crazy, but actually when you're in the kingdom of God, it's very normal.
Sure. I mean,
why would you do that? Help us out here, because some people might be having a connection with you. Why would you do this?
This guy's mad. No, I think, it's really simple. I mean, last weekend in May, I just walked in here. I didn't have any of the answers. I still have plenty of questions. I still have plenty to get fixed up in my life. But I walked in here, and through the people here and through what goes on that God does in this place, I've seen a massive change in my life. And I guess I just have a passion to try and replicate that and make more room. We don't have enough room for schmoes like me to come in and sit down where I did. This place is packed out at the moment, which is phenomenal, but we're only going to continue to grow if we have more space. And, this place has just made such a fundamental difference to me and my kind of outlook. I haven't said this at any of the other services. The first person that tapped me on my shoulder that morning and I got up for and let them in is Brooke, who I'm dating now.
Mm.
That's kind of.
You didn't tell anybody else that. You saved the best goods for 11:40. Your fellow slackers.
You've got to serve the 11:40 people. But, it's really just around that passion, and not just for this place. I think one of the things that I feel really great about is that, you know, this isn't all about us feeling good about a church and making a church look pretty and building like brass plaques or whatever, but actually getting out into the community here and changing Cincinnati and what we're doing abroad in South Africa. And this was another thing that occurred to me just sitting through the services today is that I don't want this to come across the wrong way. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of Brian's kind of crew here. I'm not like in the core of the crazy campaign. I've sat out there I'd never even met you until Tuesday. It's true. I mean, we met up on Tuesday and so it's not like, you know, this is something that like 3 months ago, they said, right, Pete's going to get on stage and say this stuff. This is just a real example, I guess, of the sort of things that are happening here. And, I'm just passionate about that. I just realized that there are plenty of selfish things that I do in my life that aren't building this. And when I look back over the last year and just tithing, I have not one regret of doing that And there are plenty of things I can look back in the last year and think, why did I bust the money on that? Or what? You know, there's no regret in terms of just building into that sort of thing. So,
you know, dude gave up his weekend for this, and you just brought your A game every single time, laid your life bare, and we just appreciate you feeling safe and being real here. Let's thank Pete for. You got a little envelope. You came in. Go ahead and open that up. You got money again. Except different money. Different money. One of the things that Jesus says at the end of that discourse is, store up treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. What your eyes see, the heart loves, basically. Where the heart loves, the eye sees. And this, what you have right here, is a replica of Confederate currency. And I think we have different denominations in here. Again, this is a replica of Confederate currency. This is what was actually used during the Civil War. And if you were financially wise during the Civil War, if you lived in the South, if you lived in the kingdom of the South, once you started to recognize that your kingdom, the run was going to be done, what you would start to recognize is, I got to be really wise in how I spend this. And what you would do is, you would keep just enough Confederate currency to meet all your basic needs and all that stuff, and then you would look to sink this or invest this into something that would be of value in the next kingdom or in the midst of the Union coming back together. And this is the exact thing that we have going on in all of our lives today. If you want to take out your keys or your wallet, anything, take it out if you will. I want you to just wrap this Confederate currency around your keys, all that it represents. Actually, stick this in your wallet. I'd like you to carry this around with you for the next week. Every time you go in your wallet, I'd just like you to remember this factor. Remember it, okay? Because here's the thing. You take this home, put it on your kitchen counters, okay? Put it on your couch. Put it everywhere and realize every time you see this, this will fade. Wrap it around your financial portfolio. Your kitchen counters will get cuts on them. Your spring clothes will go out of fashion. Your financial portfolio will tank. If it doesn't tank, you'll tank. I mean, last time I checked, the death rate is hovering right around 100%. You know, last time I checked. And all of this currency, we can use this. There's nothing wrong with us using it, but we've got to realize it's got a very limited shelf life. And I need to make sure all of us ask ourselves, what's the payoff? I want to ask the band to come out. I want to ask them to lead us through a song. I'm going to have a closing comment after something really cool I need to say to you. But while they go through this, I want us to think about what the payoff is to the one thing. What is the one thing that is the passion of your life? What is the one thing that owns you? That one thing will tell you what kingdom you reside in. Before we go, I just want to make kind of one, kind of relates to today, but it sort of doesn't. It's this kind of cool thing we need to know as our community. You know, we've been saying that there's miracles that are happening in the midst of our community. And peace, one of the miracles. The marriages are still together in here are the miracles. People who are divorced and then now remarried are miracles. People who, for the very first time, have a friend who's of a different race is above the miracles. They go on and on and on. And this church has been like one miracle after another. That's what God does. He does crazy things like that when He wants to change the world. One of the things that we've been praying about since the first day we took occupancy, after we walked around this building 7 times, that God would give us this thing or help us to buy this thing. We've been praying the same thing for Moser Dodge over there, you know? And looks like God's got another one of His miracles in the making over there. Should have known it when some people walked around us 7 times were praying about it. We came to a contract, we have a signed contract with Moser Dodge right over on the other side. If you don't know the significance of that, you haven't been to a personal contact meeting. It's an utterly phenomenal thing. And we're not sure exactly how that's going to all work out. And we still got to close on it, and nothing's over till the campaign's over. But it's an unbelievable miracle to see how God is doing things in people's lives. One other thing about that is He's still open and selling cars, and so they want to be very clear that that's happening. And again, it's not a done deal until it's over, and they're going to have a while. They got to shut everything down. But it's an incredible thing that happened in our church. I hope you're appreciating it. Let me pray for you, and we'll get out of here. God, thank you for this place and for it's for people like Pete who challenge all of us. And I pray that you'd help us come to a place where we know what kingdom that we're in and migrate to your kingdom and the place where your truth completely satisfies. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. All right, take a look at that pack on your way out. No next level this weekend. We'll see you next week.